Hi, this is Elaine. Welcome to Aging into Joy by Living from the Inside Out. Today I'm going to talk to you about my third adventure. I mentioned in my last podcast that it had become really clear to me that the mind, body, and spirit are so intimately interdependent within us that you really can't just strengthen your body and not attend to the other parts that comprise my wholeness. So my third adventure is really about finding balance in my mind and in my emotions. And that definitely would impact, hopefully positively, my spirit. So it wasn't hard for me to decide where I was going to go. I knew I was going to go out on the land. And I'll just kind of call this a spiritual journey. And I went up to Chimayo, New Mexico, which is located between Santa Fe and Taos. Northern New Mexico is cherished land for me. My heart and soul respond to its beauty and to its mystery in ways that doesn't happen for me in a lot of other places. So going out is no small feat when you're 70 and your only resource is yourself. I knew I would be moving slowly, and my relationship to space was a bit unsteady, not terrible, enough for me to bring my walking stick, my knee brace, a blanket, and a balm to soothe my soreness that might develop at the end of a day of hiking and reflecting. I packed really lightly for this trip, and I decided I would only bring water, nuts, and seeds for nourishment, and a few of my supplements that I need to take, like calcium and magnesium. I took my small tent and sleeping bag, my hand drum, a journal, and a pen. That was it. I would be gone for 5 days, and I was eager to begin this spiritual journey into my inner being. I had done something similar several years earlier, but I recognized that doing it now offered me the opportunity of self-acceptance, whereas prior to that, I was just happy to be aware, to have a sense of what is in me and what I need and what stops me from getting what I need. Now I really wanted to move into acceptance and keeping the things that nourish me and releasing the things that don't. So I ended up in a campground that was basically unoccupied, and I pitched my tent in an area that was not too far from the Pueblo of Nambi, and the ground was a kind of a dusty orange, and it was sandstone, but it was rocky also, and so I had some difficulty setting up my tent. And as I was doing that, as I was getting stakes into the ground, I recalled how serendipitously I started my camping adventures about 20 years earlier. And I want to tell you about this tent because it really signified a huge shift for me in my life. When I was around 54 years old, I had given up a lucrative job after 19 years, and I really wanted to try some new things and different things, and I had to start to find something that would allow me to work part-time. And I did that. I did find a part-time position, but I don't want to go into that right now. But to kind of celebrate my 19 years of working as a both a social worker and an administrator and manager, I wanted to go to Ann Arbor and kind of just look around and see what called me. It was interesting because arbitrarily, I was standing in front of a small camping store, and I was deciding which direction I wanted to go to visit a bookstore, and instead, there I am in front of this camping store that seemed to beckon me. When I was looking into the window, I noticed these different tents, and I thought how fun that would be to go tenting. I had never done that before in my life. So I decided that buying a tent would be a way of celebrating the accomplishments of my 19 years of employment, where I grew professionally by leaps and bounds. And I would celebrate the risk I was taking going to this very tiny agency that wanted me to market and grow them. They offered me a 3-day-a-week job, which is pretty much what I needed to have the freedom to do other things in my life. So in exchange for the size and the bottom line of this new agency, I would be free 4 days out of the week, 2 during the week, and of course the weekends. I felt this was a big risk for me, but I felt like it was worth taking. I wanted to expand my life. I wanted to be more creative, and I wanted a heightened level of risk-taking. So this is what presented to me, and this is what I did. The camping gear was the first playful gift I had given to myself up to that time, and it would not be long before camping became a passion of mine. I was using in Chimayo the same tent that I had purchased 20 years ago, arbitrarily standing on State Street in Ann Arbor. So once I set up camp and reflected on this, the story of how my camping years began, I allowed myself to sit down on a boulder and watch a magnificent sunset. Sunsets in New Mexico are precious. They play off the land, and sometimes the color of the land can turn purple. Sometimes it can be a violet. Sometimes it can be orange and yellow. It's just unimaginable and indescribable. As darkness came, I did feel alone, and I decided I would journal some thoughts and questions that I wanted to explore during this 5-day, I'll just call it a walkabout. I did see that I was actually comfortably uncomfortable in that moment, thinking about going on a self-reflection journey for 5 days. I did feel some anxiety about self-discovery, kind of meeting my shadow self with eyes wide open. And I'm going into detail with this part because I invite you all to take your own kind of journey like this. It's just the most incredible opportunity to offer oneself. For me, it's about nature, and at that point in time, it was about the desert. I was just madly in love with the Southwest. And that changed over time, but for that moment in time, that's where my heart was. And so when I got up the next morning, I set the conscious intention to attain clarity, had some seeds and water, and took my supplements and prepared my backpack for the day. I decided I would look for a canyon with shade or a mesa top where I could see the unfolding desert. The canyon actually presented first and was within a mile of my campsite. Felt very comfortable for me. I planted myself in a place where there was some shade. and I had a blanket with me and found some rocks and created a spiral. And want you to know that the spiral never fails to anchor me. I love the symbol of the spiral. It reminds me of the cycles of life of nature, birth, growth, death, and rebirth. It's the perfect symbol, as nature is full of spirals. If you look at pine cones, if you look at snails and shells and galaxies and hurricanes, they are all spirals in their own right. The connection between nature and humans, to me, is effortless and intimate if we're paying attention. She is a great teacher, and she will lead by example. She will allow you to release what you need to release, and she'll accept it. The earth is just such a good place to let things go. If you look at the human body, in many ways, we are constituted of spirals too. Curly hair, for instance. Even our muscles, some of them are in a wrap around in a continuous networks of a spiraling kind of movement. And even the heart muscle itself spirals in and around itself. So they're everywhere, and they have been everywhere since ancient times. So as I'm out on the land every day, I'm going to make a spiral and begin my day reflecting on the different stones I collect to create that spiral. So that's one of the first things I became committed to and certain about. One of the things about the spiral that I haven't mentioned yet is that it allows us to move forward and backward in reflection so that we're not looking at our life in a straight line, because life does not proceed in a straight line, as I think most of us can testify to. The spiral allows us to move forward, move backward, revisit some aspects of our life, go deeper, and look at what our life has been about from different vantage points, from different ages, and from the different amounts of wisdom we collect as we age. Engaging with symbolism for me is just so important. When I return to certain experiences in my life that are significant in the past and present, I can do this from so many different perspectives now because the spiral has taught me that. It helps me know what I've learned. It helps me know where the gaps in wisdom or knowledge are. It helps me grow, and it helps me self-accept the things that I see within myself. So it's the next level up, if you will, from self-awareness. The interesting thing when I go out on the land is the fight I have within myself to open up to myself, to see clearly. I always like to say with new eyes, and to see honestly and consciously all the parts of my wholeness. And I do have a pattern that I've recognized in myself that is self-protective. And I know it's rooted in the past, and I know I don't want it anymore. And I know it kept me safe. this pattern of being self-protected. But anytime I engage in self-discovery, I have to really commit to getting out of my own way, to shutting my ego down, and to step out of any confusion it throws up. Pretty much any time I've gone out on the land to seek answers to hard questions, I begin tentatively. And I'm telling you this because I think that's true for most of us. We're entering into a space that is beyond our ego self. And I have to be able to move through it to get to my soul, my spirit, my heart wisdom. And that's really, really important when you're out to learn and reflect and grow. Distortions and exaggerations have to be tossed aside, but first they have to be recognized. And that's really what journeying for about 5 days is about, because you start off in one place, and I guarantee you, you don't end up in the same place. You definitely don't end up. You end up somewhere else, and you discover parts of yourself you love and parts of yourself that cause some pain, and we can embrace all of it so that we can claim or reclaim our wholeness. Sometimes I feel like when I have a breakthrough that I'm meeting myself for the first time, and I recognize the power of the ego to keep me self-centered or in controlling mode. But the interfering ego can make things very complex. So the simpler I can keep my reflections, the more likely I can manage its interference. The more easily I can shift from my self-critical voice to being an observer of myself. And this makes the journey, the whole journey, so much easier. So I sat down on the blanket after my spiral was complete, and I just let some random thoughts swirl around in my head. I felt a little nervous. I was noticing the elements. You know, there was a slight breeze. The sun was warm, but not especially hot, at least where I was. The light of the sun was just amazing, and it brightened an already bright crystalline blue sky. So this is how I begin my journey. I'm going to take you through the meditation that I do, which is not hard, but it grounds me. And if it's helpful to you, that would be great. So I do a deep breath in and out through my nose and repeat that breath until it kind of becomes natural to me. And I allow myself to soften my eyes, closing them, and just clearing my head, just kind of sweeping out whatever has occupied my mind during the day, and coming as close as I can to what I call empty mind. And the first thing I do is I ask myself to look around and see everything around me, to notice everything around me, to bring me into that state while breathing deeply. And slowly, I begin to connect with the environment around me. And I focus on things that I ordinarily might not see because I'm just taking a quick view of the land around me. And this gives me the opportunity to notice faces up on the mesa walls, you know, kind of developed by the wind and the rains over years. It helps me notice rocks that have been formed by the wind and are amazing in their geometry. When I've moved my eyes around the entire environment, takes maybe 3 to 5 minutes. I then listen. I close my eyes and I listen. And I listen to the wind, the breeze. If I'm in an area where there are leaves, I can hear them shaking and kind of singing, if you will. And during this process, I'm still breathing deeply and I am relaxing myself and connecting to the world that is speaking to me in different voices, okay? So again, I do this for a couple of minutes, and then I allow myself to touch. I don't get up, I just touch the things around me. In this instance, it was the sand below me and a few rocks, and I noticed the heat from the sun on them. I noticed their texture, how they were formed. I have no idea, but everything here has a graininess to it that is really grounding me. And the colors, you know, we think of sand as a light brown, but actually there's so many colors in the sand pebbles and in the stones and the rocks and even some boulders in the area. So I'm breathing and I'm taking in with touch that which surrounds me immediately. And then I use my nose to notice any fragrances, any scents. That's S-C-E-N-T-S in the area. I may even notice how dry the air is. I might even notice how it cools me, brushing up against my skin, or how the sun makes me feel like it's shining just on me. And on this day, I was fortunate because it was so comforting. So when I've used all my senses, I'm now grounded and ready to be able to reflect, to meditate, to take a hike and allow my mind to just drift to wherever it wants without directing it, without controlling it, without responding to it, just being. And that's the treat, that's the gift of this particular adventure, is reaching that state where I'm just being myself. Just being is such a simple yet deep place for us to arrive at. So I'll close on that note, and I usually end up doing a few breaths through my mouth to kind of wake myself up if I've gotten into a really relaxed state. Mouth breathing raises our energy, so I like to add that dimension. And so I challenge you to a meditation that is grounding for you, whether it's this one or using your senses or something else. But it's a beautiful thing to experience, and it is amazing how one with ourselves we become. And it is something that's a gift, because there's no stressors, there's no anxiety, there's just being. So have a good day, have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you soon.